Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. We're so encouraged that you are joining us here today. We have so many interesting things, God's news, behind the news, wisdom moments, and all those wonderful humor moments. Join us, VFN Radio's Extra Hour. Listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you have joined us, and you will be encouraged too. VFN Radio, join us in a few. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to VFN Radio in the Extra Hour. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today in the Extra Hour is Pat and Chris.
Hello, John.
Hello.
Hello, hello. I don't know if you know, you have to speak before you start fixing your hair and start feathering and all that. You know, just go ahead and say, I'm here.
What?
Oh, my goodness. Well, we're talking in the first hour. We're talking about first hour. Listen. We're coming to the end of it, but we're talking about it's not enough just to hang around the cross, but we got to get on the cross. We can't fool ourselves to have, a virtual relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's not a voyeuristic experience,
right?
And I'm afraid that many in the church today, Matthew West has a song that says, "I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to go just one more day without your all-consumer power living inside of me." It's like they're going through the motions.
Mm-hmm.
They're going through the motions.
That's right.
And you don't have to go through the motions. I mean, having a relationship with the Lord can be so authentic and so fresh and so intimate and so amazing that you can come back to that place of intimacy with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 Timothy tells us, he says, But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its powers thereof.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like all this sin, all this stuff, and yet,
mm-hmm,
you know, Jesus is coming out of the same mouth that's you know, curses and everything else. Listen, we got to come back. We can't conform to the world. We can't be like the world. God's called us to be a separate people, mm-hmm, a holy people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation,
right,
separated unto himself. And I love what the psalmist writes, you know, David. I mean, I love his heart, but he had such a heart for God and a passion for God that was just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." We can come back to the place of yearning.
That's right.
And crying out for God. But we can't no longer conform to the world. I mean, there's a stark change.
Right.
You know, there's this Proverbs 27:10 says that he that is full loathes honey, but to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. And it could be that we have so much stuff of the world on our plate.
Right.
It's being real, you know, that there's just not a place for God anymore. God is just right next to the peas and right next to everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time to start repenting and turning back to God and scraping these things off that sin that so easily entangles. And even if it's not sin, but just the noise, if you will, the stuff that's just crowded your plate, where there's not even a place for God on that plate. He that is full loathes honey. Mm-hmm. But to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet.
Mm-hmm.
When you're hungry for God, when he's the only one that matters, when he's your first thought when you get up, when he's your last thought when you go to bed, when you're living throughout the day, you're meditating and thinking about his word. You know, it's God's word that I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you, Lord. When he becomes your first passion and your sole obsession, let me tell you something. It's about a love relationship. It's about a love relationship. And you know what? If you've been in religion for a long time and you haven't been told that, you don't know. You just don't know. I remember when I came to God and I'm thinking, wait a second. I was upset. I'm like, mm-hmm. Are you telling me all this time I've been hearing teaching and preaching? Are you telling me that this is about relationship? I mean, like, where was this Jesus? Where what happened here? Who turned on the lights?
Right.
And we want to flicker the lights on here for you. We want to say, hey.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. It's about a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's about walking with him. It's about an intimacy where you can begin. You have open access to God,
mm-hmm.
that you can abide. And John 10 says, tells us that my sheep hear my voice. You can hear the voice of God.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole world of possibilities, but it's not going to be in doing the religious works. It's not going to be in the traditions of men. It's not going to be going through the motions, as Matthew West so writes in his song.
Right.
But it's going to be with a relationship. You know, I think about all these wonderful worship songs that we sing, and sometimes the Holy Spirit just kind of just brings them up. But I think about that song, you know, I'm coming back to the heart of worship.
Mm.
Where it's all about you. Yeah. It's all about, what have we made it? You know, what have we made it? You know, and I'm telling you, you can cry out to God and say, God, I'm coming back to the heart of worship where I don't care. Everything's got to go. I've got to have God. I've got to touch God. I've got to reach out to you. I've got to touch the hem of your garment. We need you in our home. We need you in our country. We need you in our marriage. We need you in our family. We need you in our city. We need you, God.
Yeah.
Forgive us for the things that we made it. It's not a club. It's not a group where we can hang out. It's not. We need a heart after you, a heart after God. I want to encourage you. Let me tell you something. God's waiting on you.
Right.
He's waiting on you. I'll never forget one time I heard someone say, and it just so resonated in my heart, you can have as much of God as you want.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, how much do you want?
That's right.
You can have as much God as you. There's no limit.
Mm-hmm.
The floodgates are open. But I've found that when you set that quiet time, when you close everything out and find you that set place, maybe that set chair,
mm-hmm. yeah,
at a set time.
That's right.
Slow everything down. Quiet yourself. And meditate on him. Be sincere. And just talk to God. Allow yourself to be vulnerable and just really go there with the Lord, because he desires it. He desires to commune with you. And in that place of openness and vulnerability, in that place of abiding in his word, your relationship with God is just going to increase. Your heart's going to begin to melt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the key ingredients. I believe our hearts have been so hard-hearted by the cares of this world, by sin, mm-hmm. because the callous heart, you know, there's no sensitivity anymore. When things that you used to do were sinful, you'd be convicted just at the very, and now it's just like, it's just normal.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be sensitive. We want to be tender. We want to have a soft heart that we can, at the whisper of God, we can turn back. So I want to encourage you, listen, it's not about hanging around the cross. Don't settle for religion. It's an original intent. You know, don't settle for, you know, oh, I can never go back to, I remember when I first got saved and I was on fire and it's just, you know, no. You can have as much of God as you want. The question is, how much do you want? Come, go explore God. Run after God. Come back to a heart of worship. We'll be right back.
I don't know if you actually found out about our newsletter. We have a newsletter now. It's called The Torch. And what this is about, it's about sending you and our listeners who subscribe to it on a weekly basis or biweekly or monthly, whichever one you desire, just let us know, what happened during that week. So many things happen in our life. We get so busy, and sometimes we forget or we want to share with our friends. Well, you can sign up today. You can subscribe today for The Torch. The Torch is the newsletter for the VFN TV and the Daily Radio program that we send out to you in your email, an update. What happened that week? What happened with some of the segments that happened on VFN Radio? What were some of the things that were loosed on VFN TV? What's happening prophetically? It'll come to you in your email if you sign up for The Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on subscribe and sign up for The Torch today so we can keep you informed tomorrow. That's VFNTV.com. I don't know if you heard that. You might not have heard it, but we just busted through a barrier, our next barrier, our next achievement, where we went over the counter of 4,000 likes on VFN TV and VFN Radio's program's Facebook. Mm-hmm. Yes. I just want to thank everybody that's joining us and all of our Facebook-connected listeners that are sitting in the virtual stadium out there. We shot right through 4,000,
mm-hmm.
and next our goal is 5,000. And what does that mean? What does it mean to begin to like our Facebook? This is what it means. You can go to VFNTV.com and just click on our Facebook and like us. It means this, that every day our staff works tirelessly to make sure that everybody that's connected us in many ways, including our Facebook fans, is that you have access to not only the entire program, but you have access to segments, like a loaf of bread being cut up in certain segments. We call those highlights, that you can listen. There may be one thing that was discussed that day. You get a chance to listen to the program, or you want to share it with somebody else. Well, the fact that you liked us on Facebook makes that available to you every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Every single day. What does that mean also? It means if you have somebody in your life, that you have a friend or a relative or somebody that you want to be encouraged, by getting them to come and like our Facebook, mm-hmm. they automatically will get the very same highlights, and they'll hear about what we talked about in the first hour about the third great awakening. They'll hear about the prophetic words and what God is revealing, and they'll be a part of it too. And you won't have to send it to them or talk to them about it as much as they'll have it, just like you have it on your feed, I think it's called.
That's right.
But all you got to do is go to VFNTV.com, click on our Facebook, like us, and then you'll automatically get these. And they intensely labor over making sure that these highlights are available from each day's program, because, you know, you can listen to a lot of things, but there could be one thing that day that just encourages you, that mm-hmm. gives you insight, that helps you answer questions in your community or in your family or in your church gathering. And you can make that available to yourself if you haven't yet by going to VFNTV.com and click on our Facebook and like us. But you also can share that with your friends. If you got maybe 30, 40 friends on in your Facebook, you can say, I want to encourage you guys to go to, if you had to spell out the URL, you would just go Facebook.com/VFNTV, and that's mm-hmm. it. Or you can go to VFNTV.com and click on our Facebook. But if you had to do that to get them to click on it, they actually get encouraged every single day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the way it is now, they have it available. And it hasn't been this way till now, but you can either go and you'll have two links on every particular post of a highlight. One is you can click on and listen to that 1 5-minute, 2-minute, 3-minute, 20-minute segment right there on your phone or your iPad or your computer, because it'll come to you in your Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can click and go to the VFN Torch. That'll be available. Same link, a different link will be available to go read more about it and see some pictures and videos. So those two links are available in every post for you, which means this. If you're riding on the road and you need to be encouraged, just look at your Facebook and look for the highlights that are put up that day. And what you do is you go to your pages or whatever that you liked, and all those will be right there and also will be in your feed. You say, I want to listen to that. You just touch it, and it'll start playing on your phone like an MP3 will just start playing.
Mm-hmm.
It's so all cool. Right. We call those highlights. But what it is it's just revelations that came out on that day or conversations or some encouraging things about Pat's hair products.
Absolutely.
So 5,000 likes is our next goal. Thank you for everybody helping us come to 4,000. We're already moving into 4,100, but we want to move on into 5,000 likes. Why? Because that means that many more people are getting encouraged on a daily basis. Listen, if you are having difficulty reaching people for God, partner with us in this way, and we together will reach them. We will reach them together by doing this. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Totally awesome. Cool. I think about that Promise Keepers when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out, they came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums fill with people. We've seen them fill with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app. But they like us, and so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat, based on what we presently see, where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome, awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, You can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. If we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown in their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's a dollar a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me in the extra hour is Pat and Chris. We just finished talking about, before we went to break, hanging around the cross is not enough. You got to get on the cross.
Right.
And we just talked about it's not enough to have a virtual relationship with Jesus. That's not a relationship. You got to know him. You got to have a personal relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get the world out of our lives. Got to get sin out. And we've got to return back to a heart of worship, a place of intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to go and share a segment that we had not too long ago. And it's called, Is the Church Conforming to the World? I mean, it's you know, Paul encourages us in Romans 12, 1 through 2. He says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not supposed to be like the world. We are a not even a subculture. We're a counterculture of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a great, great highlight. We're going to talk more about this, but we got to get the carnality. We got to get real.
Right.
We got to get real with where we're at so that we can know where we need to go. If we think that what we're doing is right and acceptable before God, we're missing it. We're missing it in view of God's mercies, in view of the Lord, in view of what God is seeing, that his eyes are upon us every day. Is what we're doing pleasing to the Lord? Listen up.
I want to mention something, because you see today people protesting, saying that we will not comply. We will not comply. And and people go, oh, what's wrong with them? What are they doing? They just need to conform. They need to line up with everyone else. If they would just move with the crowd, things will be much better. And in some cases, if the crowd's going in the right direction, it's correct. But did you know that we, as the church, are called to be nonconformists? We're called to be nonconformists.
Right.
But it seems like everywhere you look, things that you're seeing, things that you're hearing be taught, it's just like, it's all these ways how to conform. How to be like the world.
Mm-hmm.
How to integrate with the world. How to integrate the world into you. But Paul was writing to the church in Rome, and you can read it in his 12th chapter in his letter. It's the 12th chapter. And he says, he's talking to us, the church, in verse 1 and verse 2. He says, I urge you, brothers. And what's he talking to? He's talking to us. He says, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, thank God for his mercy, which means not getting what we deserve when we don't do it well, but we're trying to do it.
That's right.
I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. If you look at the word sacrifice in the Greek, the word victim is what you find. You find victim.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody says, well, I just feel like a victim. You know, I just go serve God. I do what's right. And people take advantage of me. It's like, oh my goodness, you're doing it. You're moving in your call
to
suffer for doing good.
That's right.
To this you were called, right? That's what Peter said.
Right.
And he says, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, which means separate, separating yourself from that which separates you from God. Mm-hmm. Holy and pleasing to God, for this is your spiritual act of worship. So taking our bodies and doing what God says with our bodies is a form of worship, or is worship to God.
Mm-hmm.
This is our spiritual act of worship is not a song. It's you obeying the words in that song. You know, it's not just reading the word. It's actually doing what the word says. And then he goes on and says this, and this is where he tells us not to be conform, to be nonconformist. He says, in verse 2, he says, do not conform. Do not conform. Mm-hmm. Think about it. Mm-hmm. I will not comply.
Mm-hmm.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, standing before the fiery furnace, bow down before this idol. We will not comply. We will not conform. Yes, everybody's bowing down, Nebuchadnezzar, but we're not going to bow down. We're not going to do it. He says, do not conform any longer, which means we were at one time, but now that we found God and we're being discipled and learning his ways, we repented from what we used to do, turning to the ways of God. Any longer, we're not going to do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Do not conform any longer to the patterns, this culture, this way of doing things, the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that word mind in the Greek is soul, which is what you think, what you want, and what you feel. I think I want to feel. I think I want to feel. I think I want to feel. People get up in the morning and they go, you know what? I think, I want, I feel.
Yeah.
All day long, I think, I want, oh, and I feel. And it's like all day long. They're driven by their souls. Mm. But we're supposed to just take our soul and transform it and have it to submit to the ways of God. And that is our form of sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
We say, I'm not going to comply anymore to the patterns of this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your soul or your mind. And he says, then you'll be able to test and know what God's will is, his good and his pleasing and perfect will. Listen, the church, we're supposed to be separate. We're supposed to be separate from the world. No, we're not supposed to be hid out somewhere in some foreign whatever. But we're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. You should be able to look at the church and say, they're not like the other. There's something about them that's different. I mean, they're not ridiculing me. They're not condemning me. But when they're around, they're just not like everybody else. They're different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody else says, hey, let's just do this because the world always does this. And all of a sudden you go, I'm not going to participate in that. That's called being a nonconformist.
Mm. Right.
Not conforming. And so you look at the world and it's like, You look at television and you look at the church and it's like, which one's where? Which one's, what's happening? Do you get your scripts for what you tell God's people from the scripts of writers in a back room who write a television show?
Mm. Mm.
What are you doing? Why would you do that? We're called to be nonconformists. Listen, it ain't working anyway. I mean, if what you're doing right now, is it changing your life? Is it changing their life? I mean, we have ministers that are partnering with the rebellion that's in the heart of children while parents are trying to raise their children. And the parents are literally at war with a person who calls himself a minister who's dividing their child from their parent, agreeing with their sin.
Mm. Mm.
We're supposed to be nonconformists. Don't conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If we just sit here and watch junk all day long in our mind, that's what we're going to become. Whatever you see is what you're going to become. Mm-hmm. And what you're seeing is a media-driven church that they watch media and they actually become what they see.
Mm-hmm.
And you start thinking it's normal when it's not normal.
Right.
It's important to check yourself. You know, and realize, you know, even though you think it's normal, it might not be normal. And if you find out it's not normal, it's what God wants. You go, listen, God, I'm sorry, it's not normal.
That's right.
But right here, you got to see this, man. This is, you know, I'm gonna make this available to you on the VFN torch. You can get to it at vfntv.com. But you have these churches, these gatherings, and they call themselves their ministering, and how they're going to get the attention of people in their church is they're going to take, they're taking peanut butter in front of all these teenagers and all these kids, and they're taking this peanut butter and they wipe it in a bare armpit man. And then he takes the peanut. This is like, what are you? This is not, what? This may be some reality show somewhere, but this is not the church.
Uh-uh.
And you're not winning their kids over by acting like some. And then he takes the peanut butter. He takes two slices of bread, or one of them takes two slices of bread, scrapes it off the person's armpit, makes a sandwich with it, and eats it in front of the kids in the church.
Mm.
In the church. Look, I mean, you got to see this.
What you do is you spread it. You spit.
You understand, he's wiping peanut butter in the armpit in front of all these kids on at a gathering of believers, Christians,
mm-hmm.
and you're hearing them react, you're hearing the kids react and the young people react of him. He's lifting his arm up and they're wiping peanut butter in his armpit. It's like, what? It doesn't even go on a grid. Mm-hmm. But the thing about it grows, it goes on a grid of perversion is what it goes on in regards mm-hmm. to this. But look at this.
All around the hair, right? Actually, let me get it. Just now,
he's taking this stuff and he's rubbing. Now he's pulling his arm down and he's rubbing the peanut butter in his arm, the person who got it put on him. I mean, listen to this thing.
Look at this.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, sweet.
Nasty.
Okay, I think I'm going to vomit. Actually,
yeah.
That's going to happen now. Right there. A little bit more there.
That's disgusting.
So now you also weigh the guy that was sitting here doing this in front of all these kids. The parents sit there. Think about it. You're sending your kid.
You think your kid is sitting there getting taught
the word of God. Right, exactly. And now what's happening to him? This is what's happening, you know, to your cut.
Mm-hmm.
Your teenager.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
who desperately needs God.
Yeah. You know, and this is what's happening. And so he walks away. Now this guy has, there's two guys. This one guy just rubbed peanut butter in his armpit, and the other person, the other guy's got it in his armpit.
Right.
And listen up.
Put this on the other pit. Yeah, you're going to put that on every pit at least 18 times a day. And then
18 times.
That might take care of your order.
Okay. Well, great. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Doc.
Yeah. What time is it?
It's about 12:30. What?
Oh, great. Can you have a seat, please? Could you have one more seat?
Okay.
Actually, what
do we do is
it's lunchtime.
What you do at lunchtime is you take a... Oh, my goodness. He just sat there, took his hand, the one who put the peanut butter there. The guy lifted his arm up. The man scrapes the peanut butter. This is in what they call mm-hmm. the church.
Mm.
Scrapes it out of his armpit and then sticks it in his mouth.
Mm. Wow.
I'm telling you, listen, I know you're seeing it on TV, but it's not supposed to happen in the context of the gathering of the church.
Mm.
This is, we got to learn how to be separate. We're supposed to be nonconformists. Yeah, you might be seeing this at some, I guess, you're seeing it in some, maybe some television show or something, I would guess. And then, you know, but don't imitate that. Don't imitate right. that. And this is not, you're not winning. It's just disgusting. One thing that encourages me here in front of these hundreds of young people is this adult. Look at this one adult. He gets up and he's literally repulsed and he walks away. First of all, why did you let it happen in the first place?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Secondly, I'm glad somebody was repulsed to what was going on right there. This is not normal. This is not the way things are supposed to be. We're supposed to be nonconformists. We have to find out. Listen, somebody says, well, you know, church is boring. Well, first of all, there's two definitions of that. One is what you think is the church is not the church. And yeah, of course it's boring. It's religion.
Right.
The other is, it's boring to you because you're not a believer.
Hello?
It doesn't make sense to you. You're blinded to what's going on. It's foolishness to you because you don't believe.
Mm-hmm.
But don't sit there and turn the church into an unbelieving behavior because you have an unbeliever saying they're bored with it.
Right.
Help them get born again. Or quit forcing them to fellowship with believers when they're not a believer.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
This is what it turns into.
Whatever you use to bring them in is what you're going to have to use to keep them. And if you're trying to entertain their flesh and they don't even know God, I mean, what are we doing here? You know, it's like, it's something that I say often is, you know, has the church gone Hollywood? It's like you can't use television programs or movies and think that it's all about entertaining young people.
Mm-hmm.
What our young people need more than anything is God. In this time, what they're facing and what is coming in this country and what they have to deal with, they have to deal with more things in their generation right now, this present generation, than any adult probably has ever had to live with in their lifetime. And you're going to spend that 45 minutes spreading peanut butter.
But they should not have done. They should not have had that encounter with a minister.
Mm-hmm.
That should not have happened with somebody who's supposedly supposed to lead them in the things of God, a servant of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, shouldn't lead them in that. And then they not only would they have that, and we're going to talk about this. This is just one part of what's going on. We try to get in. Now they're taking, in addition to that, this is just some of the things that are going on.
Mm.
And this is supposedly the church coming together. Remember, do you read the Bible again? You know, 19% is the only ones that read the Bible according to George Barna anyway.
Right.
Only 3% are concerned about what it says in regards to themselves on the context of God's map and his word. But just, you'll find out that this is all behaviors that come from carnality and flesh. It's like giving ourselves over to our flesh. We're looking for things that make our flesh feel good. You know, that's entertaining to me, my flesh, and all the different stuff. But we're supposed to deny ourselves, pick up a cross, and follow the Lord. It's not that we don't have a good time, but good time is spelled differently in God.
That's right.
It's not about humiliating the human being. It's not about doing perverse things. It's about a holiness and a set apartness to God. But now they're even taking... And it's like, what are you, I don't understand. Is there nothing else you could do? And somebody says, well, you know, they were bored. You know, I tried teaching them and they got bored. So now what some of them are doing, they're taking baby diapers, and they're putting chocolate pudding in the diapers, and they're imitating the eating of feces.
Mm.
And they're having a contest that who can eat the feces, the what looks like feces in this diaper the fastest.
Right.
It's foolishness.
Well, it's actually Baal worship. Feces has to do with, all this stuff has to do with carnality. It has to do that, you know, part of feces was part of the Baal worship that they would use. And so it's like we're so blinded to what's going on that all this stuff, you know, Baal's prophets, when you look at them, they cut themselves. They did all these different things we're seeing manifested in our culture, what's happening. But look what they're getting in the church. I'm gonna look. Wow. Look at this. You're looking at children set up across a stage, in a gathering, in a camp where you're sending your kids. Like, oh, I hope that Susie goes to the camp and she finds God. You know, we really want Susie to be saved. We want our daughter to be saved. We want our son to be saved. Let's just send them to the Christian camp.
Mm.
Let's send them to the Christian camp. And now, I mean, you're looking at this video right here. And you have a man in a suit while you have children walking back and forth. And you would think, outside of them eating this poop in a diaper, that it looks like a minister walking across the stage. But the problem is you have all these kids now covered with a face that looks like feces on their face, eating from a baby's diaper and seeing that as normal. But this is happening in the church.
Mm.
This is happening. And somebody says, oh, that's boring. One or two things is going on. One is
You think you're in the church and you're not. Second thing is, you're not a believer. And the message of the cross is foolishness to you. And you're hanging around for the benefits. Mm. But the reason why it's boring for you is because you don't know Jesus. But if you know Jesus, you don't need to bungee jump no more. Mm. If you obey right. God, you live on the edge of excitement.
That's right.
You see, faith is about believing God for big things. And it's okay. Not, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
What is this? But you know, you have to understand it. I'm talking about, we're going all the way with this and understanding that you have gatherings where the church is coming together and you can't tell the American flag away from the Christian cross. You know, which one's which? Which did all of a sudden Christianity conform to America, or did America conform to Christianity, or why is the flag in the place of worship? And I understand. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying if I'm glad to be an American, all that. But I understand that the flag came because of Christians going after God, not going after a country. Yeah, the pilgrims coming to America, they wanted a freedom. They broke loose from the king so they could worship God, not so they could have a country of their own. They had to have a country. It was a byproduct of people. They had to have a country. And what came later on after Christians worshiped God freely was a country and a constitution that allowed them to worship God freely. But don't put the flag over the cross. You're not going to have the flag.
Mm.
And you hear things like, you know, this party's God's party. What do you... You've conformed to the patterns of this culture. That's not, you know, what are we doing? We look like the world. We act like the world. We're just Paul says, he says, listen, what's wrong with you guys? Well, you're acting like the world. You're shaming the Lord and how you're acting between each other.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking your brother to court. Why not be wrong? Why not somebody take advantage of you? Mm. Find somebody that's low amongst you and have them judge over you. I'm saying this to your shame. What is going on with you?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you what's going on. You're gathering them by their flesh.
Mm-hmm.
You're preaching to them a carnal message. And you're wearing yourself out coming up with new carnal ideas.
Mm.
So you turn to the thing that they turn to, which is media, to relate to them instead of turn to God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I preach the gospel, then I'll get fired because they told me my job as a youth minister is to keep these kids entertained.
That's right. Babysit them.
Because if their kids get upset, then this man who gives money to this organization will be gone.
Wow.
It's like, we can't worship God together because we can't stand each other. Mm-hmm. So you go to a neurologist, podiatrist, you know, a neurosurgeon. You go to a woman's ministry, a men's ministry, a children's ministry, and you divide the whole thing up because they can't stand to be together.
Mm.
And you wonder what's going on. And the closest, nicest thing they said to each other was something they posted back and forth on their Facebook when they have no relationship at all.
Right.
Zero, right.
But they want to give the impression that they have one. To me, freaky.
Mm.
Very.
But to the world, it'll do.
Right.
The image does. What have we done? We've conformed. What, you know, I just want to get along with God or the world.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Friendship with the world is an enemy of God. Listen, the reason why church ain't making sense to you, because it ain't making sense to God, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Church is about Jesus Christ. It's about Him and Him only and the advancement of His kingdom. It's about a God who loves you so much that He gave His life for you, that you would leave your life of sin. It's about giving wholeheartedly every part of you to Him. And even though you fell and you make a mistake, you love Him and you want to make it right. And it has nothing to do with you and what you want and all your carnal ideas. And listen, sir, in your big jar of peanut butter and your Pampers and your pudding, you need to leave. You need to repent.
I know that's right.
I mean, I think it's a travesty. You need to start preaching holiness. You need to say, you know, I want to be holy myself. Make the decision and say, you know, God, I'm going to walk. And you'll be really surprised, by the way, if you hadn't been to the ramp, we carry in Wheaton's ministry, you'll be surprised. Kids want holiness. They want the opposite of that.
That's right.
They want somebody to be honest with them. Now, every kid's not. Every adult's not. But you're not trying to get everybody in the world. You're just trying to find out who wants God. And whoever wants him, you want to be able to baptize them and lead them in the ways of God and launch them in the purposes of God. If you quit trying to get everybody and just look for the ones that want him, then it won't be as hard.
That's right. Looking for a crowd.
You're going to have to leave that thing they call a church that's living to satisfy, you know, the Jezebelic stronghold in the thing. That if you don't make so-and-so happy, it ain't going to work,
mm-hmm.
you know. Or we're going to lose this or lose that. Jezebel controls you by what she gives you.
Right.
You may have to do that. But you know what? It's better to be faithful with one than be a fool with 100.
Hmm.
You're going to have to answer for that. You cannot blame, by the way. Let me tell you something, young minister. You're not going to be able to blame standing before the throne of God and blame what you did before the throne of God on some board of directors,
mm-mm.
on, quote, some senior pastor, unquote.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to stand alone for that. Now, we all make mistakes, and we all err, and we're not perfect, but you can stop that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get fired because you do what's right, celebrate that. This mm-hmm. is what we're called to do. But you know what they're going to find out? They're going to find out what, you know, what we found out. I remember when we were part of the outpouring at Brownsville Revival, that it started with the young people.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It started with the children. And they begin to wail for the adults, and they begin to get visions of hell and all that was going on. They begin to cry out and fall under the power of God. And it began with the children, and the children, the children, God used the children to usher in something so powerful, so filled with the love of God that it swept across the world.
Mm-hmm.
If you tell young people the truth, you're going to find out the truth mm-hmm. about them.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find out the ones that look you square in the eye and say, I don't want a part of God.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll also find other ones that say, oh my goodness. And the purity and the desire of a young person who goes after God, there's nothing like it.
Right.
But we can't wrap the cross and the flag while we're thinking, why? Is the Japanese flag, do we wrap that around the flag? Or mm-hmm. how about the German flag? And how about the Venezuelan flag? How about that? You know, how about, hey, Israel's flag. I mean, if you're going to wrap any flag around the cross, wouldn't you? Come on, what are you doing? Now, if you folded the flag up and you placed it at the foot of the cross,
mm-hmm.
that is what will save this nation.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If we'll quit conforming to this world and trying to have everything morph to what we want it to be and lay all of our lives, all of our dreams, all of what we went the wrong way with at the foot of the cross, including America.
Mm.
The God just may forgive our sins, heal our land, and help us keep our nation. We have been given proof positive, a constitution that allows us to be nonconformist. It allows us right now. I don't know how much longer we have it, but it says in the First Amendment, you do not have to conform.
Right.
Hmm.
There's no excuse. And listen, we're going to have to answer for this because there's no excuse in America. We did not have to conform. During this 250 years, we didn't have to conform. We could stand up and just say what we feel God is leading us to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we can do it now. We don't have to conform. You know, I'm looking at clothes and I'm thinking, man, I like that shirt. And that shirt is like, oh, it's so nice. And I've seen a lot of believers wearing this particular brand of clothes. It's kind of like artistic and all these mm-hmm. different designs to it, and it just looked really sharp. And you know, and it's called South Pole, and I thought, well, that's kind of nice. And I found one when I was in Tennessee, and I thought I'd put that thing on, and all of a sudden I think I'm gonna get me some more of those shirts. And I was gonna order them, and I took the shirt and looked at the tag for the first time. Well, Donna was looking at the shirt, my wife, she's looking at it, and she says, something's not right with that shirt. I'm like, oh, you're just messing it.
mm-hmm.
And she's just sensing in her spirit something wasn't right. And when I looked at my shirt and pulled the tag off, or looked at the tag, it's made from a company called Wicked Fashions. Two guys out of Queens, New York. Wicked Fashions. Make South Pole. And so you see the South Pole jeans and the South Pole shirts and the South Pole jackets. The tag on the back, it's Wicked Fashions.
Mm.
I don't care if it's the prettiest thing in the world, and that's what you're seduced by. If you're seduced by something, it's something that's really attractive to you. If it's from wickedness, if it says wicked fashions, I mean, create your own brand and call it holy fashions.
Right.
But don't wear wicked fashions. And it's like we're conforming to the patterns of this world. I'm like, took the thing off? I don't think so. And I laid it with shock and thinking how many people that call themselves believers and youth pastors and ministers are wearing wicked fashions.
And it doesn't faze them.
But the thing is we become like the world.
Mm-hmm.
But if we humble ourselves, if we pray, listen, sin is sin. Wrong is wrong and right is right. And we've all sinned. We've all fallen short. And somebody might be just a little bit ahead of you on the path of repentance, but everybody's taking the same road.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Understand this. Don't base the truth that you preach and adjust it based off people's responses.
Mm.
Don't change your message. Change your audience. Including if you're at a 5,000 member gathering place and nobody wants to hear the truth about Jesus. You finish preaching it, let them fire you, put your transition package in, and you go find the people who will. You have not been called to an occupation. We've been called to minister the truth of God. Every one of us have been called to minister the truth of God. This is not about your J-O-B. Go get you one of those.
Mm-hmm.
This is about sharing the truth of God to mankind, preaching the kingdom of God. And then the end would come. We are called to be nonconformists.
This is so true. What a powerful word. We're called to be separate. We're called to be holy. We're called to be apart.
Sure.
And you think about it, if you have the opportunity to share the gospel with anyone, whether it be young people, whether it be with adults. I mean, you want to share the gospel. You don't want to introduce the ways of the world. I mean, just recently I saw a picture of at one time with a youth pastor dressed in a Halloween costume as the devil in a blue dress. And I'm thinking, what in the world is that?
Mm.
What is that? So trying to be it. "Quote unquote cool," that's just awful.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's just absolutely awful, and this just goes back to what we've been talking about. We've got to turn back. Listen, the hope for this nation is the nation turning back to God, but it starts with the church. It's if my people, who are called by His name, if we repent, if we turn from our wicked ways, then God will hear us and heal our land.
Right.
But it starts with us. Listen, we're believing for a third great awakening. It's time. It's time. It's time. It's time to no longer try to be like the world, but to be who God's called us to be.
That's right.
A holy people set apart in love with their God. And so I just want to continue on that path and just let us simmer on that. But let it become apparent in our life. Let the truth come forth. Mm-hmm. And as we come to the end of our extra hour, and we want to share the wisdom moment. We share every day, we like to at least. And, you know, there's 31 Proverbs in the Bible, and there's 31 days in the month. And today's the 13th day of the month. We want to share the correlating proverb with the day of the month. Today, that's Proverbs 13, chapter 13, verse 20. And it reads, "He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm." He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffer harm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 1 Corinthians 15:33 says that, "Do not be misled." You know, if he was talking today, you know, if you were just written in today's language, he said, "Listen, don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted. Bad company corrupts good character." And all you just tell me who your friends are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just tell me who your friends are, and I can pretty much tell you your future.
All right.
And it's so important. I mean, listen, he who walks with the wise grow wise.
Mm-hmm.
But a companion of fools suffers harm. Listen, if you want to grow in wisdom, you want to be a godly man, a godly woman,
You need to find those who are wise in God. You need to find out those who have the wisdom of the Lord upon their life.
Right.
Because some things are just not taught, they're caught. And you have to be in the flow and just find out how this is being actually lived out. Remember, because wisdom is a proper application of knowledge. And so you have to almost kind of experience and witness it. But think about in 2 Chronicles, and Pat and Chris, you guys probably remember this,
mm-hmm.
where Rehoboam became the king of Israel.
Right.
And, you know, once he became king, a couple of the guys came to him, and all of Israel said, "Listen, your dad was he's pretty harsh. This you know, your dad was pretty wicked there, and
mm-hmm.
he gave us, you know, some harsh labor and put a heavy yoke upon us. You know, do you think that you could help us out here?" Pretty much, I'm paraphrasing.
Right.
So he says, "Listen, you go back, and in 3 days I'll have an answer for you."
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing King Rehoboam does is he consults the elders who had served his father.
Mm-hmm.
Solomon during his lifetime, and how they would advise him to answer the people.
Mm-hmm.
So he wants to get their wisdom, and he told him, like, "Listen, don't reject these people, but basically, you know, lighten up their yoke, and they'll serve you forever."
Right.
So he dismissed them and brought back now some of his young friends that were serving him.
Mm-hmm. His homies.
His homies. It's these guys that were low in the wisdom of God. But they were like him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he invites them in, and they tell him, "Listen, you need to tell them that your pinky is thicker than your dad's waist." Mm-hmm. You need to tell them basically that you're the man,
mm-hmm.
and you're in charge.
That's right.
So what does King Rehoboam do? He takes their foolish counsel.
Yeah.
And he winds up destroying these people that God's called them to lead. Why? Because of who he surrounded himself with. Listen, listen, hear us today. If you're growing in God and you're new in God, if you've been a seasoned believer, your destiny often is determined by who you plan to associate with. Why would you associate with folks that don't want nothing to do with God, that just want to hang around the cross? Let me tell you something. You're hearing this and you're saying, I want to get on the cross. I don't want to. You may have to part some ways. You may have to let some relationships go. How can you grow in God if you're hanging around those that don't want nothing to do with God?
Mm-hmm.
You can't hang on to religion and relationship at the same time.
Nope.
You can't hang on with those that want to be stuck on stupid, if you will, or stuck on foolishness.
Right.
When you want to move in the way of wisdom and direction and counsel, listen, I don't know about you, but I want to be with those that want to serve God, and their chief end in life, their chief goal is to glorify him with their life.
Mm-hmm.
If you hang around with those that are wise, if you make those who are wise your friends, you will grow in the wisdom of God. Today's Proverbs is Proverbs 13:20. "He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm."
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.